Okay, good evening. We'll get this closer here so folks at home can see after Brandon does a little chore. Let's go to Genesis 1. Two verses in Genesis 1, and then we will take off. And this message is specifically for this night. It really fits the after church event. So I don't want to give everything away, but it does fit. All right, Genesis 1, and then verse 1 and verse 16. There we go. Kind of need that for some notes. Yeah, move that over here. Yeah, there we go. What are you looking like back there, Don? Okay, good deal. Genesis 1:1 to start. In the beginning, God created the heaven, and what else? Okay, emphasis, the earth in that verse. Something about the earth. Go to verse 16. Verse 16, all these things that the Lord made, verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Two great lights are mentioned in verse 16. Help me out here, folks. The greater light would be the sun. The lesser light would be the moon. Now, we've got three things so far. We got the earth, we got the sun, and the moon. What do they all have in common? They're round. Yes. Where did the earth, the sun, and the moon come from? God made them. You want to get a good laugh? Do a little search sometime, a little research on what the world says about how the earth, the sun, and the moon came about, and you'll get a good laugh. Because it is so far out there. I mean, it would take an atheist to believe it. So, God made those three things, and there is no better explanation. Did you know that scientists call the area that the earth sits, the distance from the sun, from the earth to the sun, they call that the Goldilocks zone. And the reason I call it that is because it's the perfect distance away from the sun to sustain life here on earth. What a coincidence! Or, what about the purposeful creation of God putting it there? Mars can't sustain life, Jupiter, Venus, but the earth can. And by the way, the earth just happens to be, let's see, you got Mercury, that's closest to the sun. You got Venus, that's second closest. And earth is the third planet from the sun. If you know anything about that number three in your Bible, it's obviously very important. The Godhead, and then Jesus Christ, how many days and nights in the grave? 3 days, three nights. So there's something about that number three. Okay, I'm getting all off in other areas here. Tonight, the message is called The Circle, God's Shape. So let's pray, and we're going to have some fun tonight and feast on some, Lord willing, some spiritual food that has to do with something round that you might find in the back. And then we will have the physical. Because what's more important, spiritual or physical? See, what? Spiritual is more important. Physical is important. Let's not get around that. But we'll get the spiritual and then we'll get the physical. So let's ask the Lord to help us here. Thank you, Lord, for your words. We thank you for how everything is laid out so clearly that we just have to believe what you say. And everything sure does make a lot of sense in the world we see around us and just observing the skies and observing things here on this earth. I pray that this would be an enjoyable message for us to feed on your word. And also, you just show us some truth that possibly maybe some of us haven't seen before as we go through these scriptures. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, God's shape is a circle. So I want you to just glance around. We're just going to take this room here. This is a building made by man. And when a man makes something, it's a whole lot different than when God makes something. So just take a look around here. You know what you see when you look around this room? I see a whole lot of straight lines. Yeah, Miss Diana's got that. I see straight line after straight line after straight line. Now, there are some exceptions, and I'll talk about a couple of those in a minute. But why do you think whenever a man builds something, he uses straight lines? What do you think? If you've ever built something, you know this. How come? How come, Brother Paul? Yeah, okay, so you end up getting square, you're able to square things off, and there's tools to do that. It's easier to make something straight than to make something round. I can't imagine, I know that there are round structures that men build, but I have to imagine that's a lot more difficult to build than something that's squared. Would that be true, Brother Paul? You'd be one of the guys to know that. So when man makes something, he makes it simple. He uses a lot of straight lines. Well, when God makes something, and you really have to go outside to observe this, but when God makes things, you're going to have a real hard time finding straight lines all the way through. So probably the thing that comes to mind if you walk outside, you say, what about the trees? Okay, I know that they actually go up, but if you take a close look, it's not straight. There's some curves on those trees, right? And it's not going to be the same on both sides. If you have a portion that's straight, the other side's not necessarily going to be in alignment with it with a straight line like you would see all over this building. So God specializes in making things either round or making things with curves. So how about just some of the things that God has made? How about leaves? You ever see a square leaf? You're not going to see a square leaf. How about animals? Animals have all kinds of curves on them, don't they? Same with people. You look at everything that God made, and you're going to have a hard time finding anything that God made that doesn't have a curve on it. Or God makes a lot of things with a perfect circle, something round. So, you're probably thinking that there's some things that man makes that actually are round, and you're right. So I brought one thing here, a couple things. This just happens to be what I have with me, so it's my shaker bottle. But I drink out of it. And you see that? It's round. That's something that's made by man. And you got glasses or cups at home. They're round. I mean, I've never, that I can recall, drank out of a square cup. Doesn't make sense, right? But when a man makes a cup or a glass, he makes it round. So there's an exception, right? What do you put in a glass? Something to drink, I know. But what do you put in there? Liquid. Now, any liquid you can think of. Well, most liquids you can think of, what is their base? Water. Where'd the water come from? God made it. If you're thinking about orange juice, where does that come from? An orange that happens to be curved. And we put it in this container because we often put things that God made in round containers. How about milk? Well, that comes from an animal that God made. So, you see, when a man makes something round, he oftentimes makes it to hold something that God made. So there's this connection between round things and God-made structures. How about you drove to church tonight, you got tires on your car? What shape are they? They're round. What's inside those tires? Air. Where did the air you breathe come from? The first man, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Breath and air comes from God. Okay, there's a clock back there. Don't look at it. You don't want to know what time it is right now. There's a clock back there, though. In most clocks, my watch is the same. And most watches and clocks, what's their shape? They're round. Ooh, man-made structures, right? What do clocks and watches do? What's their purpose? They tell time. Where does time originate? With God. In the beginning. We just read it. So you see, man does make some round things, but when he does so, there's something connected with something God made that is either held or directly related. Does that make sense? So I want to show you that God's shape is the circle. It's round. So go to Isaiah 40. Here's our first point here tonight. Observing circles. Already told you a few things in creation here. And just to show you that this actually is in the Bible, not just the fact that you got the sun and the moon there, and it doesn't say they're round. We observe that, but let's get this nailed down. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and go to verse 21. Isaiah 40, 21. These chapters here, when you get to the 40s of Isaiah, it's a whole lot about the Lord and His power and His might. If you look at verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Now watch 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So that right there tells you, what's the shape of the earth? What's it tell you? It's circular. It's a globe. Now, don't let the flat earthers take you to that verse and try to tell you, see, the earth is a circle, but it's a flat circle, like a coin. Have you all heard that before? Yeah, so, and then they try to tell you that all through the years, all these satellite images from NASA are a hoax. What a conspiracy that is, if that's the case, huh? They really hid that one well, didn't they? But the idea there is, if you're up where the Lord is, and you're looking down on the earth, what does He see? What does He see when He looks from above down? What shape? A circle. So that doesn't contradict at all. There's no problem there. Okay, so understand, when you observe things in creation, you find out a distinct difference between things God made. He uses the circle. He uses curves. And man makes a lot of straight lines. So there's the first point, and that was an easy one, wasn't it? Y'all with me on that one? That's the easy one, because I'm about to make you think. Y'all ready for this? Okay, we're going to do it anyway. 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. Now, Brandon, when he was, I don't know what grade, sometime when he was in school, I remember him doing this, and he probably can still do it to some degree, but there's this unit of measure when it comes to circles called pi. Now, I left off the E because the measurement is, we spell it P-I. But yes, I did this on purpose. We're having pi tonight. Hey, why not? Let's talk about pi without the E in the Bible. So, Brandon could give you a lot more digits, but I'll tell you what the scientists and the mathematicians tell you. I'll give you the first few digits here. I think Brandon had maybe 20. How many did he have, Sam? 20 or 30 digits? Oh, 100. Wow. Okay, so I just did 5. So, this is a number that never ends. But if you can't see that, make that clear, that's 3 points to decimal. 14159, and it just goes on and on and on. So in math, this is called a constant. It never changes. Now, here's the thing. I'll try to make this as simple as I can, because some of you are tuning me out because it's math. But if I was to measure this particular building, let's just say the auditorium here, and measure the distance around it, that's called the perimeter. Easy. When it's a square like it is, that's easy. Get out the tape measure, that corner to that corner. Okay, write that down. That corner to that corner, write that down. Okay, you see what I'm saying? It's pretty easy. And you add them up and you're done, right? What if you're trying to measure the distance around a circle? Well, I'll just walk the circle. And there's the measure, right? Sometimes easier said than done, because that tape measure you can't just make in a circle, right? So we use pi in order to tell the distance around a circle. So let me give you a little background here. In math, there's something called circumference. The C is circumference. Now think about that word. You ought to know what it means. Circumference. Your Bible says in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 5, is you and I are to walk circumspectly. You ought to know what that means. You know what it means? Circum has to do with a circle. So to walk circumspectly means I might be walking one direction, but I know what's over here. I know what's over there. I know what's behind me. That's walking in the fashion of being sober, being vigilant, right? You ought to have awareness of what's around you whenever you're going somewhere. So circumference is the distance around the circle. Now, if you want to measure this, Miley, you could probably teach this lesson, right? No, oh, math's not it, huh? if you wanted to measure the distance around, you, if you want to figure it, I should say, you need the right formula. So this is the symbol. I'll make this real big up here. That's the symbol for pi, P-I. And you see pi, you substitute it with this number. Here's what I'm going to do, because this is what we do in math. We just make it real simple, 3.14, all right? So pi times the diameter will tell me, actually, I think it's a lowercase d, that'll tell me the circumference. Okay, so now, back in school here for a minute, diameter, what is that? All right, so it's not going to be perfect here, but you get the idea. This is the diameter. From one side to the other, diameter. Now, you can measure that, because that's a straight line. That's easy. You need that measurement to get the perimeter of the circle, the area around the circle, distance around the circle. But you got to use pi, and then you got to know the diameter. Okay, so you with me so far on that? Now, watch what your Bible says here. Pi, actually, the measure that it was this was, it was around 250 B.C. when a guy named Archimedes figured this out. So you're looking at 2,200 years ago. 1 Kings 7. In my Bible, I have a timeline here. This fellow that put this Bible study, this study Bible together, may not be exact, but he's got around 1,000 B.C. So the Bible, where we're going to read now, predates Archimedes. So before Archimedes could figure it out, God told us what it is. So you got to follow me here. And if this goes over your head, just get the gist of it, and something really neat is here. So the first point here was observing circles. This is measuring circles. So 7:23, 1 Kings 7, go down there to verse 23. I'm going to read a few verses. These are the chapters about the construction of the temple. And in the temple, there was this brazen laver. It was a big round structure, and it was where the priests would wash because they had to be clean before they could do the work. So if you look at 23, here it is. And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. So if you notice this here, there's the diameter given, and it says there, from one brim to the other, from one side to the other. What is it, folks? 10 cubits, all right? 10 cubits. Okay, I'm going to make this in our mathematical terms because it'll help us get a good understanding of this. The cubit is a Bible measurement. They say tip of the, I can't remember, index finger or middle finger to the forearm. Well, that's different on me than Brother Dave and on Pastor. It's not the same everywhere. But it's fairly close to around 18 inches. Okay, so if one cubit is about 18 inches, this is easy math. 18 times 10. All right, so we've got the diameter here. Let me write this up here so people watching at home can see it. These are approximate, 180 inches. Okay, now, did you also notice that it told us, in that verse, it told us the circumference. Did you catch it? It says at the end of the verse, a line of 30 cubits did compass it where? Round about. So, this is 30 cubits. You with me? 30 times 18. I'll do the math for you. It's 540 inches. So, most folks stop right here. And I'm going to pause, but then we're going to pick it up here in a moment. So, if you do the math here, knowing the circumference, knowing pi, and then knowing the diameter, oh, 180, here's what you can do. Miley, how do I get rid of that so that I got the value of pi? Do you remember? I divide both sides by 180. And if you do that, that cancels out. And pi equals, anybody want to do that? 540 divided by 180? Anybody got that? It's an even number. 540 divided by 180. Who's got it? It's 3. So, if you just take that, and a lot of folks just stop here. I'm going to take it just a little further. We got a little time here to do this. So, if you go a little further, well, let's get this first. According to what we just figured, pi is 3. Now, that's pretty close, isn't it? Pretty close. But if you're like me, you're thinking, hold on a second. Is there something here that I need to see that I'm missing just leaving it at 3? And a lot of folks would stop here and they'd say, well, man is wrong and God is right. And if you stop there and say that, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. And if you use 3 instead of 3.14, you're going to get pretty close, right? Still going to be a little bit different, but you're going to get pretty close. But the more I look at this, this part I'm kind of wondering on. And there's a little bit of guesswork here, but maybe not so much. Go down to verse 26. Actually, let's read, I'm going to have to read 24 to 26 just to get this. 24. And under the brim, you want to remember that, under the brim of it roundabout, there were knops compassing it, 10 in a cubit compassing the sea roundabout. The knops were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. Now watch 26. And it's talking about the brim. It was an handbreadth thick. And the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup. With flowers and flowers of lilies, it contained 2,000 baths. So I kept reading there, and I thought, why did God give us that little detail about the brim and the hand breadth? Now, here is a possibility, and this is really neat. Let me get rid of this just so it doesn't confuse you with what I'm about to add. It says that brim is a hand breadth. So it could be something like this right here. And this is obviously not going to be real good to scale and not near as good as that first circle that Brandon traced, but this little space would represent the brim. Okay? And if that brim is a hand breadth, what we could say is a hand breadth, we're going to say 4 inches. That's what most of the scholars say, about 4 inches. So 4 inches here, 4 inches there, that's 8 inches, right? Okay. Now, it says over there, when it tells us about the 10 cubits across, it says, back in 23, it says, and he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. So here is a possibility. That 10 cubits could be from there to there. Okay? I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Make sure I get this right. The 10 cubits would be from the edge to the edge. There we go. The 10 cubits. I didn't need to change anything there. But if you were to just include this part to here, we would actually need to get rid of the brim. And here's the reason why. Then you would be able to figure out what all kind of volume you can actually hold in this big sea, in this big laver. So if you're a little confused here, all I'm going to do here is subtract. I'm going to subtract 8 inches from this diameter, indicating that would be the brim. Does that make sense? So watch what happens here. This is really neat. 180 minus 8 gives me 172. So now, let's do this. We're just determining the value of pi right from your Bible. Do 540 divide by 172 instead of 180. Anybody want to punch that in? Oh, I left something off there. 3.139, is that right? Round that off. And what do you get? Isn't that something? 3.14. Take that, Archimedes. You could have. Somebody could have discovered that 800 years earlier. Well, I'm assuming that the the Jews may have very well figured that out. In order to construct circular things like the Lord had them make from time to time. So I think that's pretty neat there. There is your pie lesson for sweet and savory pie fellowship tonight. So you got more than you bargained for when you came for pie tonight. So that's neat. And again, I know that there's a little bit of guesswork there, but the thing that it gets me is you got to keep reading, and then that little thing about the brim is expounded upon. And it makes me wonder if that's the very reason. Could be. Could be. So, fun stuff there. Now, last thing here. We had observing circles, measuring circles, and some of you should be glad. If you don't like math, you should be glad. That part's over. No more math, okay? How about the last little point here? What about discovering circles in the Bible that are significant? If the circle is God's shape, is there anything that He made that is of special significance that happens to be round outside of the sun, the moon, and the earth? And yes, the answer is yes. So let's go over to Genesis 9. Two more places here, we'll be done. We'll be done probably before 7 o'clock. Genesis 9. Just a couple of fun things here that God tells us are round. And I'll do my best, again with the Lord's help, to try to explain why God did it like this. Genesis 9, look at verse 13. This is after the flood of Noah's day. Back up to verse 12, actually. 9:12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Okay, so that verse tells you why. After a rainstorm, you look up in the sky so often, what do you see? Rainbow. Now, science has their explanation with the light and the water droplets. I get that. Here's the thing. There could be an explanation from science, but there's a reason why God made it like that. The reason He made it like that was to remind us every time of His covenant, His promise. What did He promise to do? Promise to never flood the earth again. Now, that's the earth. You can have floods like we had here in Florida recently, but not the entire earth. That's a promise. Now, here's what's neat. I'll read you the scientific aspect of a rainbow. A rainbow is caused by sunlight and atmospheric conditions. Light enters a water droplet, slowing down and bending it as it goes from air to denser water. The light reflects off the inside of the droplet, separating into its component wavelengths or colors. When light exits the droplet, it makes a rainbow. Here's the thing about the rainbow. What do you see when you see a rainbow? That's all you see, right? And you know why that's all you see? What is it that's in the way of you seeing the full picture? The horizon. Certain conditions. Now, I've never seen this, maybe somebody here has, but in certain conditions from the air, if you saw the full rainbow, guess what shape you've got? It's a circle. It's a circle. Isn't that something? Now, I have on my finger, and those of you who are married, hopefully you have yours as well. I can't get that thing off, I'm going to try. That's my wedding band. And my wife and I both wear them. Been wearing them ever since we got married. And what is the reason for that thing being round? What do they say if you've ever been to a wedding and they explain this? It's forever. So I know it's till death do us part, but at the same time, the commitment is forever. And when you see the circle, it has no beginning point and it has no ending point. The reason why God uses the circle so much is because that reflects who He is. He is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no ending. So when you see things that are around, wedding band, rainbow, it ought to remind you of who God is. And particularly with the rainbow, it should remind you of the promise of God. Now, where do you know, where do you learn about the promise of God with the rainbow? Where do we read from just now? From His Word, right? And if you look at the Bible kind of is a circle as well. Genesis 1, we read it. In the beginning, what did God do? Created the heaven and the earth. Then, in Genesis 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And that thing goes on forever. So, you've got a circle representing the way God is, who God is, and the way God works, being eternal. So, there's one thing. I thought that was kind of neat. Go over to Exodus 16, and we'll wrap this up over here. Exodus 16. Now, you could find more. I just wanted to try to keep the message fairly short tonight. So, Exodus 16. Your homework is to find more of these. I've been in this chapter here recently with messages, so every time it seems like for a little different purpose. So look down there at verse 16:13. This is the chapter about God's miraculous provision of food for the Israelites. So look at verse 13. 16:13. And it came to pass that at even, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small what? A small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. Folks, what is that right there? Well, the next verse tells you. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. In fact, that word manna, it tells you in the verse, means what is it? That was the name they gave it because they didn't know what it was. So it says there, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So manna was round. We said that the circle is God's shape. That manna was a reminder of the eternal nature of the miraculous food provided by God for those Israelites. I'll say that again. The fact that it was round was a reminder of the eternal nature of the miraculous food provided by God Himself. Hey, what's one of the things that Moses put in the Ark of the Covenant? A golden pot of manna. And as far as I can tell, he put that in there. They carried that ark all the way to the Promised Land. And God preserved that golden pot of manna for many, many years. It did not spoil inside the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't get old and moldy. And isn't that just like your Bible? This is bread. This is bread from where? Heaven is God's miraculous provision for me and you. And I know that the manna was actual food, physical food they put in their mouths. God has given you and I miraculous spiritual food, which we are to feast upon. Amen? So, manna pictures the Bible. It is the miraculous spiritual food provided by God Himself. And last thing here, this book is connected with the circle. That circle, I had it up there. No beginning, no end. Eternal, when you see the circle. Isn't this book eternal? You can write down Isaiah 40, verse 8. Good verse to memorize. Isaiah 48. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand how long? Forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. So, that manna, round. Picture God's eternal nature. And the eternal nature, you're here this morning, we kind of hit on this, the eternal nature of this book, God's Word. Miraculous spiritual food from heaven. So, I hope you got something from the spiritual food that we had tonight. And, as I said before, spiritual first, physical second, right? So, you learned about circles and pie. This kind. From the Scriptures tonight. Now, and only now, and only after that, can you enjoy circular food. Pie in the back tonight. You ever seen a square pie? They make them round. So now, you are forced to, after enduring this message and sitting through it, you are forced to, when you look down and you see something round back there, ought to remind you of who God is, ought to remind you of the promise with the rainbow, ought to remind you of that manna in the Bible. All interconnected, all because of something round, circular. So, now that you made it through that, you get to enjoy the stuff in the back. So you had to come for that to get back there. This was your ticket to get back there. So what do you got, Miss Diana? She's got the wheels turning back there. Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's a whole lot. You may have to go through and slow it down and watch some of that again, especially to get that pie stuff. I had to look at that for a long time, and I've looked at that for many years, and just recently looking at it finally kind of clicked, and think there's definitely something to that whole thing there. I don't think that's on accident God put that in there. That's one of those chapters when you read, you think, why did God give us all these details? Very well could be for those kinds of reasons right there. So, all right, let's pray together, and then we'll have song and head back and have some physical food. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Once again, every time, we're just so thankful that you gave us a book with words, your words in it, that we can trust. While this world is all messed up and can't trust the thing that comes out of most people's mouths, we can always trust you. Thank you for just the neat things we're able to see from the Scriptures tonight. Thank you for just opening our eyes to some things that we all need to see, just to be aware of the things around us that you made. And I pray that this week we'd be aware of these things as we go through our lives, and we'd glorify you because of who you are and just what you've made. And I pray for tonight here, we want to just go ahead and thank you for the food that you provided for us, all the folks that took the time to prepare it. And we just thank you for that. We ask your blessing on it, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.